Good evening. This is Peter Hammond in the studio for From the Front Line. Sunday, 20 May, is Pentecost Sunday. For a Christian not to be Spirit-filled is a downright sin. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, then you are living in sin. The Word of God commands us, Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you do not obey this command, then you are sinning by neglect to know the good that we ought to do and not to do it. That is sin. By indifference to the Word of God, by apathy to His commands, by spiritual laziness, by spiritual carelessness, by a sluggish and lukewarm response to God's great command to be filled with His Holy Spirit, the church has been filled by the world. The church has been filled by the flesh, and all too many churches have even been filled by the devil with sinful, half-hearted, lukewarm, semi-saved, half-saved, pseudo-saved, and even unsaved, poor imitations of the real thing. We Christians are in a full-scale war, a world war of worldviews, but we do not seem to be doing that much fighting. The church is being attacked by the powers of darkness. Spiritual warfare is a reality. Sin and worldliness are crippling and undermining church growth and outreach. And worse still, most do not even seem to be aware that we're in a war at all. All of us have friends and family members who are under the attack of the evil one. We have family members chained by the devil, friends trapped in addictions, friends trapped in sinful habits. The church says sheep who are being carried away captive by the false prophets and filthy demons of hell. We are missing opportunities. We are squandering our resources. And we are wasting our time on trivialities. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing is the great commission of our Lord Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations, to teach obedience to all things that the Lord has commanded. We are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We are to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. These are things that really matter. And yet, all too many are wasting time on trivialities. Satanists are actively working to undermine and assault the leaders of the church, to undermine the work of the church and the work of world missions by incantations, by hexes, by subtle spiritual warfare, by the politics of guilt and pity, by character assassinations, by guilt manipulation, by distraction, by deception, by tempting, blinding, deceiving, and deluding Christians to engage in false priorities and to embrace false doctrines and to adopt the humanistic agenda, to employ human solutions, to become ensnared in sinful habits and addictions by keeping Christians from the Bible and by hindering us from prayer. The devil has tragically rendered entire congregations ineffective. Weakened by worldliness, all too many are casualties of carnality. The devil is waging an all-out war against the forces of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all too many Christians seem to be confined to barracks or absent without leave. Tamely singing choruses and enjoying fun and fellowship, many seem mesmerized by make-belief, sucked into soap operas, enslaved to fashion, prisoners of peer pressure, locked into the internet, video games, and virtual reality, which of course is no reality at all. Napoleon once said, as he looked over the vast expanse of China on the map, he said, "There lies a sleeping giant. Let him sleep, for if he wakes, he will shake the world." And the devil could be saying the very same thing of the church today. There lies a sleeping giant. Let her sleep. If she wakes, she will shake the world. If the church wakes up, it can truly shake the world. It has been done before, in times of revival and reformation. I believe that we can liberate the world for Christ. I believe that we, God's people, can reach every tribe, tongue, nation and people for Christ in this generation. Religion without Christ's mighty Holy Spirit is dry, dull, powerless, inept, and ineffective. Christianity in the power of the Holy Spirit is dynamic, fresh, spiritual, powerful, earth-shaking, history-making, and invincible. The greatest power in the universe is the power of God. There is no limit to what God can do. There is no limit to what God can do in you. There is no limit to what God can do with and through you. If he is not quenched, no limit, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It was said of the Christians in the first century that they turned the world upside down. And that is exactly what true Christianity and the power of the Holy Spirit always accomplishes, turning the world right side up. Read in the book of Acts, and you will notice the incredible impact that the Christian lifestyle and the gospel message had on the pagan Roman Empire. Whenever the gospel was proclaimed in the power of the Holy Spirit, there was either a revival or a riot. But there was no apathy. Indifference was impossible to such a radical message and such an invincible power. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Are you dissatisfied with your present spiritual experience? Are you frustrated by the inroads that the world and the flesh have made into the church? Do you long to see Christians making a greater impact on society? Is it a burden of your heart that the evangelization and discipleship of the whole world in this generation becomes a reality? If you determine to stop quenching the Holy Spirit, if you determine to stop resisting the Holy Spirit, if you will humble yourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from your wicked ways, if you will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, if you will hunger and thirst after God, then as you ask, as you seek, as you knock, God promises to fill you with supernatural power and vibrant spiritual vitality and abundant life. God promises, he assures us. He stakes the honor of his name on these promises, stating that as we fulfill the simple conditions, if we will abide in him as his words abide in us, he will work miracles. He will endure us with power from on high. What then do we need to do in order to turn this world, this sinful, rebellious world, upside down, right side up, back to God? What is needed for us to reclaim the nations for Christ? Well, firstly, we need dedicated Christian disciples, wholeheartedly committed to Christ, freed from the chains of sin, freed from selfishness and worldliness. You know, the middle letter of sin is I, and the middle letter of lie is I, and the middle letter of pride is I, the middle letter of Lucifer is I. Oh, I is at the root of all problems. My greatest enemy is myself. We are our own worst enemies. Sin is at its heart selfishness. We need Christians not filled with self, but filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Secondly, we need these Christians to be led by the Holy Spirit into God's will, to do and to say the right things at the right time, to the right people and in the right place. God gives the very best to those who leave the choice to him. And for God's master strategy of freeing this world from Satan and turning it to Christ, we need Christians master controlled by God's Holy Spirit. We need Christians who will know the most appropriate word or the most effective action to do or to say to the most prepared person at the most crucial time for the greatest effect and the best results. We need Christians led by God's Holy Spirit. Thirdly, we need Christians who will pray in the power of the Spirit. God acts in answer to prayer, and if we do not pray, then we cannot expect God to act. Prayer releases the power of God. The only foundation for spiritual work is prayer. Prayer is our priority. A prayerful life is always a powerful life. A prayerless life is always a powerless life. Nothing lies beyond the reach of prayer, except that which is beyond the will of God. When we pray in the Holy Spirit, then we are releasing the greatest power in the universe. The church needs Christians who will pray in the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. We need to pray in the Holy Spirit. And fourthly, we need Christians endued with supernatural power to win the spiritual warfare raging at this time. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, Jesus said, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Starting where we are, working outwards in ever-expanding ripples to the very uttermost parts of the earth, we need to be endued with power. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. We need to pray in the Holy Spirit. And we need to be endued with power from on high. There are far too many of our friends and family members and ministries and churches that are being undermined, chained and crippled by the forces of evil, enslaved to the world. The time has come for us to rise up and to go out in the power of God's Holy Spirit, to stand up, to step out in faith, to speak up and to fight the good fight of faith. In the power of God's Holy Spirit, we need to wage war on wickedness and worldliness. We need to set the prisoners free. We must win the victory. We must win our world for Christ. And in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we shall prevail. We must prevail. We will prevail. As Andrew Murray declared, there is one thing needful for the church, and the one thing which above all others men ought to seek for with one accord and with their whole heart is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. In order to set free the captives, the prisoners of sin and Satan, the Lord has given believers power to bind evil. What we bind will be bound. What we loose will be loosed. We can restrict the powers of evil. We can limit the powers of rebellion. We can oppose the powers of doubt and unbelief and sin and sickness and slavery and hatred. We have power to overcome the gates of hell, to storm the very strongholds of evil, to set the prisoners free, to announce liberty to the captives. As our Lord Jesus himself declared, I have given you authority so that you can walk on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Even the demons must obey when given a command in Jesus' name. This is because we must place ourselves in submission to the power of God. And when we are submitted to God, then we can resist the devil and he will flee from us. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. If Satan is not fleeing from us, either we are not submitted to God, or we are not resisting the devil, or both. Greater is him who is in us than him who is in the world. Greater is Christ Jesus our Lord who is in us than Satan who is in the world. The church of Jesus Christ needs dedicated, Christ-centered, Bible-based, prayerful Christians endued with God's supernatural power in order to win this spiritual world war, to win this battle for the heart, this battle for the hearts and minds, this battle for the family, to turn people back to God. John Wesley said, give me 100 men who love God with all their hearts and who fear no one but God and who hate nothing but sin, and I will change the world. Just 100 men. That's not much. But if they love God with all their hearts, if they fear no one but God, if they hate nothing but sin, with such people, you can change the world. And this is what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. For to be filled with God's Spirit is to be filled with the very nature of God, which is to be filled with Christ, which is to be filled with the love of God and the fear of God. They are inseparable. To be filled with God's power is to be filled with his love. And the power of the love of Christ's Holy Spirit shows itself in dynamic action that moves the world back to God. The mark of a Christian is love, and the mark of love is action. And God is able to do far more abundantly above what we ask or think or dream of by the power of his love working in us. We need Christians who will love God with all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our strength, and with all of our life. We need Christians who will fear no one but God. Fear God, and you are freed from the crippling fear of man. We need Christians who will hate sin. And we need Christians who will make an impact on the world. All too many people are being impacted by the world, but Christians must impact the world for Christ. We need to be different. We need to be changing the world. We must not be allowing the world to change us. We need to change the world. And to do this, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How do we receive the fullness of power in our lives? As the Spirit of God is received through the Word of God, as we expose ourselves to the Word of God, as we submit to the authority of the Word of God, then we open ourselves up to the powerful working of God's Holy Spirit, who works through the Word of God. As we submit ourselves to the Word of God, we open ourselves up to the Spirit of God. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit fills clean vessels in response to surrender and faith. And the Word of God cleanses us. It is that which cleanses us. You are made clean by my word, Jesus said. The Word of God imparts and builds up faith within us. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. The gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. The Word of God accomplishes the purpose of God. God's word never returns void. It always accomplishes what God has sent it out to accomplish. It's like a guided missile. And this is why 1 Thessalonians 2:13 teaches that God is at work in us who believe and who receive his word in faith. As we surrender to the Son of God, we will receive faith from the Word of God. We will find that the more we get into the Word of God, the more the God of the Word gets into us. Just like the blacksmith's iron must be in a fire long enough for the fire to be in the iron, we need to be so much into the Word of God that the Word of God becomes part of us. We will find the more that we are immersed into the Word of God, the more the Word of God and the God of the Word empowers us, energizes us, inspires us, uses us, works through us. So as we accept and believe and submit to the Word of God, we receive the cleansing of the Word and the infilling of faith, which leads to the fullness of God's Holy Spirit. So the more we are filled with and under the influence of and under the control of the Bible, the Word of God, the more we are filled with God's Holy Spirit, coming more and more under his influence and control. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. We need to pray in the Holy Spirit, and we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Andrew Murray taught, I must be filled. It is absolutely necessary. I may be filled. God has made it blessedly possible. I would be filled. It is imminently desirable. I will be filled. It is blessedly certain. That is what Andrew Murray wrote. Now, this infilling is both a process and it is a crisis. You are responsible for the process of being continually filled by God's Holy Spirit, by continually receiving and applying God's word. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That is the first Psalm, Psalm 1. God will respond at times with a crisis where you have a spiritual encounter and an experience with God's Holy Spirit to prepare you either for some work or some hardship, some task or some responsibility, but doing a work within you, renewing your mind and purifying your heart and preparing you for ministry, endowing you with a gift, empowering you for witness, anointing you in worship or in prayer, or calling you for some task. This could be called the overflowing of God's Holy Spirit. When you are faithful to the process of being filled with God's word, you will find time and again occasions when God's Holy Spirit overflows from within you, like living waters that flow out from your innermost being. The fruit or the evidence that this fullness of the Holy Spirit produces is to be seen in any life surrendered to God and thirsty for his word. It is real love, overflowing joy, deep peace of mind and heart, exceptional patience, real kindness, true goodness, invincible faith, genuine humility and self-control. This is the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Jesus said, you will know a person by his fruit. The Spirit shows his presence through love, and true love is seen through actions. And these actions are the type that make an impact and change our world and accomplish God's will. A Christian filled with God's word is a Christian filled with faith, a Christian filled with love, a Christian filled with power. Such a Christian is able to be directed and guided by God into his perfect will to accomplish his mighty purposes, including fulfilling the Great Commission and making disciples of all nations. We are responsible to be filled with God's word. Abide in me, and my words abide in you. Then you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. John 15, verse 7 tells us, if you abide in me, and if my words abide in you, then you can ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Because as the will of God, as revealed in the Scriptures, and the desires of the Christian are transformed by the Scriptures, when this meets, when it's harmonized together, when we make combined contact with God's prayer-answering power, then God's purposes are accomplished. A believer who is filled with God's word will find that as he prays sincerely from his heart, according to the Scriptures cherished in his mind, he has vital contact with and union with Christ. This is spiritual dynamite. Actually, this is spiritual nitroglycerine. This is praying in the Spirit, and it releases that mighty power of God that is needed to transform our lives and change our world. Power for living, power for guidance, power for prayer, power for world missions. Your world needs this power. The church needs this power. You need this power. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Be filled with the Spirit. Pray without ceasing. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. John the Baptist was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make his paths straight. John said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Hebrews 12:29 says, for our God is a consuming fire. When the Lord made his covenant with Abraham, he revealed himself as a burning torch. When God revealed himself to Moses, he revealed himself through a burning bush. The children of Israel were led through the wilderness by the presence of God manifested by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. When King David built an altar to the Lord and offered sacrifices calling on the Lord, God answered him from heaven by sending fire on the altar. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering on the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The prophet Elijah challenged the false prophets of Baal to a contest on Mount Carmel. They would each build an altar and lay on it wood and a sacrifice. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. The false prophets called on Baal and danced and cried aloud and cut themselves with knives until the blood gushed out of them for hours. But there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and I've done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you've turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the sacrifice and the wood and the stones, and it evaporated the dust out of the trench. And all the people that saw it, they fell on their faces and they cried out, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. When Isaiah saw a vision of the Lord enthroned in heaven, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. and the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. And so Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to him, having in his hands a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched Isaiah's mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I answered, here am I, Lord, send me. Do you have a vision of God? Do you have a vision of the holiness of God? Do you have an understanding of the depravity of man? Have you repented for your own sinfulness? Have you experienced the fire of God purging your sin? Have you heard the call of the Lord? Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Have you answered, here am I, Lord, send me. When our Lord commanded his followers that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, he promised power from on high. When the Lord commissioned his followers, as the Father sent me, so I send you. He breathed in them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. At the ascension, when our Lord commanded his followers to be his witnesses to the very ends of the earth, he promised, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The church was born in the fires of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were with one accord in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. When the Sanhedrin threatened the disciples severely, that from now on they speak to no man in this name, Peter and John answered, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak of the things which we have seen and heard. And the disciples united in prayer. Now, Lord, look upon their threats. Grant your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Saul, the persecutor of the church, encountered the Lord Jesus Christ in a blinding flash of light, which shone all around him from heaven. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Saul, the persecutor, became Paul the apostle, the missionary of Christ. And later the apostle Paul would warn, do not put out the Holy Spirit's fire. The apostle John had a dream, a vision of the Lord Jesus while he is in exile on the Mediterranean island of Patmos. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, he wrote, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. John had a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ standing in the midst of seven lampstands. His eyes were a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace. His voice was as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp double-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun, shining in its strength. And when he saw the Lord, John fell at his feet as a dead man. And the Lord laid his right hand on John, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of Hades and of death. Have you experienced a baptism of fire? Have you seen a vision of the holiness of God? Do you know what it's like to be led of the Lord? Have you experienced this anointing? Have you been purged and purified by the fire of God? Oswald Chambers, in My Utmost for His Highest, wrote, the Holy Spirit must anoint me for the work. He must fire me. Nothing but the fire of the most holy Spirit of God can make the offering holy, unblameable, and acceptable. South African Dutch Reformed minister Andrew Murray taught, the one thing needful for the church, the one thing which above all others men ought always to seek for with one accord, with their whole heart, is to be filled with the Spirit of God. Baptist preacher Charles Spurgeon declared, O God, send us the Holy Spirit. Give us both the breath of spiritual life and the fire of unconquerable zeal. You are our God. Answer us by fire, we pray to you. Answer us by wind and by fire. And then you will see. Then they will see you to be God indeed. The kingdom comes not. The work is flagging. Oh, that you would send the wind and the fire. And you will do this when we are all of one accord, all believing, all expecting, all prepared by prayer. Reformer John Calvin described the church as the fellowship of the flaming heart. His personal emblem was of a heart aflame in the hand of God. Are you on fire for Christ? In the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus Christ revealed to the Apostle John his words of rebuke for the church of Laodicea. I know your works, the Lord said, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were either cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That's the words in Revelation 3. The Lord says, lukewarm Christians make him sick. We need to repent of half-hearted, worldly, superficial, materialistic, lethargic, self-centered, apathetic, cowardly, yellow-bellied, spineless, cheap grace and easy believism. We must repent of being even jellyfish. We need doctrinal steel in our backbones, and we need Holy Spirit fire in our bellies. Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces? Ezekiel saw the fire of God. Daniel described God's eyes like fire. Hosea described God's coming inferno. Joel wrote of God's fiery presence. Obadiah saw the fire of God in the midst of his people. Micaiah saw the mountains melt like wax before the fire of God. Nahum foresaw the day of God's fiery judgment. Zephaniah saw the fire of God's holy jealousy. Zechariah saw God's burning presence like a blazing wall with his glory revealed within. Malachi spoke of God's refining fire to purge, purify, and strengthen his people. After they met with the Lord, the disciples on the road to Emmaus declared, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? Have you heard the word of God? Has your heart burned within you? The Lord God required that in the tabernacle a fire should always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. This perpetual flame written in Leviticus 6:13 was to communicate God's purifying, penetrating, powerful presence with his people, which was to be permanent. Jesus taught his followers, you are the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. He who believes me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, which those believing in him would receive. Three of the greatest natural forces in the world are fire, wind, and water. And these three forces reveal something of the power of the Creator. On the day of Pentecost, the fire of God, the wind of the Holy Spirit, and the living waters of Jesus Christ moved in great power, and the church was born. As the missionary to China, Hudson Taylor, wrote, the power given is not a gift from the Holy Spirit. He himself is the power. Today, he is truly available and as mighty in power as he was on the day of Pentecost. Do you know what it is to have the fire of God's word burn within you? Do you know what it is to have the wind of the Holy Spirit lead and guide you? Do the living waters of Christ flow from your heart? Ephesians 3:17-21 has this prayer. that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Our God is a consuming fire. Let us pray. Lord God, we pray that you may send the wind and the fire, that you may revive your church in the midst of this apostate and wicked generation. Lord, we pray, make us faithful to your word. Make us effective in your service. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Lord, forgive us for resisting you, for quenching you, for grieving you in so many ways. Lord, be merciful to us. Cleanse us, wash us, free us. Fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may serve you more effectively, that we may fulfill your great commission in our generation. For we pray it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. For more messages from Frontline Fellowship, you can visit our website, www.frontlinemissionsa.org. You'll also find on our livingstonfellowship.co.za website digital libraries with resources in many different languages and links to our sermon audio page and our SlideShare, which have got hundreds of PowerPoint presentations, hundreds of messages, and also increasingly more and more videos also with PowerPoint presentations as delivered to Great Commission Course, Biblical Worldview Summit, at different conferences and at Reformation Societies. Those would be available on the frontlinemissionsa.org website, on our Vimeo gallery, the videos, also SlideShare and sermon audio. And on SoundCloud, we're adding more different materials regularly. So there's a lot of audiovisual materials available on the frontlinemissionsa.org website, and especially sermons and Bible studies on livingstonfellowship.co.za. May God bless you and strengthen you and empower you as you go out and seek to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. God bless.